Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Hello and thank God. I bless the Lord that you could be with us today. I thank God that each and every one of you are here today. Let me make this announcement first, if you would. You know, every day you hear me thank God that you're here. There's a reason for that. Don't even think about turning the dial. Don't even go near it. There is a reason that you are together with me here today. And it may be because you think you wanted to watch the program. You wanted to see the fulfillment of yesterday or the end of yesterday's program. You may think you stumbled on it by accident. There is no such thing as accidents. We have a God who is in control of this entire world. He's in control of everything. And today, He has had you and I come together by divine appointment. This is not accidental. This is a divine appointment. And if you will open your ears and you will listen, you will hear something. You don't have to like me. I don't have to like you. But you do need to open your ears and listen to what the Spirit has to say unto the church. Because today God has something to speak to you. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening over television today. You wouldn't be hearing this over your radio today unless God specifically had something He wanted you to hear. He'd have you someplace else. You may have the temptation to turn to the football game or whatever, but there is a reason that you're here today. So please listen to what God has to say to you. It makes no difference what I have to say. I've said it many, many times. Don't listen to me, don't listen to any other man and or woman of God, but listen to what God has to say to you. And everything I say, I ask you again and again to check it, to look at the verse before it, to look at the verse after it. Make sure I haven't made it up. Make sure it's consistent within the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that this is a consistent theme. For every cult in the world today that I know of is built from a misquoted or a twisted scripture from the Word of God. Nobody bothers to check the rest of it to see if it's true, to see if it's real, to see if it's honest. You need to do that. You need to check it out. Now, yesterday, and I want to get right to it, because as I started yesterday's program, I said this is so important that your salvation, your very salvation, hangs on this issue. Now, lately we've done a series. Now, if any of you have missed it and you would like a copy of it, please write to us. It's absolutely free. We will send you the series. And this series covers these areas that your salvation literally hangs on. We are in the last moments of time. The Lord has told us to go to the highways and the byways and to invite everyone into the kingdom. And God has told us to speak those things that are so important to those who claim to be Christians that their salvation literally hangs in the balance. And this is what we have been doing. This is the teaching that we've been giving. It is that important. In each one of these areas, your salvation hangs in the balance. I know there's some of you out there who believe that once you've been saved, once you went to the altar, you gave your $5, you keep your little white picket fence clean, you pay your bills, and you're well-liked by the neighbors, you've got nothing to worry about no matter what you do. Irregardless of what happens, you're going to be with Christ in heaven for eternity. You are going to be someplace for eternity. You are going to be thinking about Christ, but you're not going to be in heaven. I'll tell you that flat out. Some of you have written to me and asked me what I mean by this or by that, but let me just answer a couple of them. They'll hear me remark on the Beelzebub network. That to me is TBN. I just thought I'd shoot that out there because I get the question so often. Rather than answering all the emails, and please don't tell me an email or send me one and tell me I cannot say that. I already said it. I just did. I'll say it again. It's a Beelzebub network. Because what they teach you is nonsense. It's not in the Word of God. At least not in this Word. I don't know where they're getting theirs, and I just cannot believe that people will sit there and absorb this rather than what God has to say. But to me, the most damnable heresy there is, the greatest heresy we have ever had in the house of God, in the Church of Jesus Christ, is the once saved, always saved doctrine. To me, that's the most dangerous there is. And this is why I said it yesterday. I got to say it again because it's so important. The Bible says that millions, read it, the Bible says that millions will come to Christ. They fully, absolutely, totally, unconditionally believe that they're saved. You're probably one of them. There's no doubt in your mind, you're saved. You've been to the altar. You had an experience. You crossed the river. Then across the Jordan, and there's 108,000 other ways to put it. You're saved, and no matter what happens, God is a liar in your eyes, because no matter what happens, when you get there, He's going to say, oh, well, it's you. As long as it's you, forget about all that stuff I said and just come right in. It don't work that way. Whether it's you, me, or anybody else, you're either going to conform to His Word, and you're going to get in His heaven under His conditions, or you're not getting in at all. One of the common, most frequent arguments I hear it all the time, people who want an excuse not to go to church. I can give you 1,000 excuses for not going to church. You don't have to make them up. I'll send you 1,000 of them if you want them. But this one here is the dumbest. This really shows me what your intelligence level is at. I won't go to church because I don't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell. That is the stupidest, arrogant, most ludicrous statement I have ever heard in my life. And I really would like to have about an hour to still like to see a doctor's exam that you really are halfway normal, you haven't been committed to an asylum someplace, and then sit down and be able to share it with you. How can you possibly have free love, that you can love God freely, unless you have free hatred, you have free choice, you have free rebellion? How can you? Otherwise, God would be a robot maker. He would force you to do what He wants, that you would wind up in heaven with Him. God doesn't do that. God loves you. He loves you so much, He came to earth and He hung on a cross and He died to set you free. He died to set you free from the law, from the Old Testament, from the law of the Old Testament, from your sins, from your transgressions. He died to set you free from them. Now, just because you've been set free from them doesn't mean you can't fall into them again. Just because you come to the Lord and you say, God, I'm sorry, I was a sinner, I was a whoremonger, I was involved with all these women, and I was a drunkard and did all this, and you genuinely get saved, God genuinely touches you, you honestly think you can go back out on the streets, become a whoremonger again, a drunkard again, and still you're going to go to be with Jesus? You got another thought coming, because God, who made heaven, who owns heaven, who makes the rules on how to get into heaven, the Baptist Church, by the way, I got to tell you this. Please understand this. The Baptist Church does not make the rules about whether or not you get into heaven. I'm sorry about it. They just don't do it. Now, some of them chubby fellows may run the big colleges, but they don't make the rules about whether or not you get into heaven. God makes those rules. God and God alone. And God speaks about holiness, and He speaks about repentance, and he says that he will send forth his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, who, by the way, some of the people say we don't have that anymore either. You know, I love it. The Lord said we would have the apostles, the pastors, the prophets, the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. But according to the Baptists and a few others, let's see, we took out the apostles, we took out the prophets, we can't take out the pastors because how would they get any offerings? We can't take out the evangelists because then how would we get all the gifts and money? And we got to have those two, right? So they decided arbitrarily. They sat down in a meeting one day and they said, "Let me, what's a good year? Let's pick a good year. How about 33 A.D.? Yeah. That'll do it. 33 A.D. God took out these other ones and just left us with the pastor and the evangelist. Oh, and the teacher, too. Because that we could use for another office in the church. All right. You really believe that? Give me a break. God just split this down the middle, took half of them out, and left you the other half. I don't know, it seems to me he took out the half that don't collect any money. Isn't that right? I remember Paul saying that freely you have received and freely give, and all these other areas about not taking offerings. Remember that? Oh, yeah, Paul talks about it. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. You find me one, just one, New Testament scripture on paying tithes. I'll pay yours, mine, and 10 other people's. Because it isn't there. There's no such thing. Tithes went out with the Old Testament. It's part of the law. The Word of God says if you're going to obey the law, you're either going to obey all of it, every single bit of it, or you're going to go to hell. Do I have to get any plainer than that, or you think you can comprehend that? It's all or nothing. Very clearly says that tithing was part of the law. So if you're going to tithe, that's fine. But keep up with the ceremonial laws, with the washing, the cleanliness laws. Keep up with all the rest of them, too, because you're going to wind up in hell if you don't. You have to keep up with all of them. There's no choice. And, by the way, tithing was brought forth. I didn't even mean to get on this subject, but it was brought forth as an offering unto the Lord, and it was stored in a church storehouse. But it was brought forth as an offering of wheat, or of meat, or chickens, or something like that. It was not brought forth as money. It was brought forth as something from the field, or the chickens, or something like that. So if you're going to do that, do it right. Sunday morning, show up in the first, you know who, church, with a chicken in each hand. And when they pass that offering basket around, stuff that thing in there real quick so he can't get back out again. Stuff his head in underneath that little red robe. That's what it's there for. Keep the chickens quiet. And then just pass it on. And when they ask you what you're doing, say, "I'm following the Word of God. What is it you're doing?" If nothing else, at least you'll open up a discussion. At least you'll get something started. I don't want to get on tithing today. I'm sorry about that. This is what I did want to get on to. This is what God has given me to share with you today. I started it yesterday, and the grace of God, I'll be able to finish it today. For those of you who have your Bibles, and you do all have your Bibles by this time, I hope and pray, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, and we will be beginning at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and beginning at verse 7. And I'm going to read to you what the Holy Spirit says, because the Holy Spirit is saying this to the church today. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, you got the word today? If you got the word today in your Bible, underline it, circle it, put a little arrow pointing at it. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the deserts, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years I saw what I did. They saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. Let's stop right there for a second. How many people do you know who have been sitting in the church for the last 15, 20 years, and they have seen the power of God, they have seen the healings of God, they have seen the move of God, they have seen all that God has done, and they, in turn, have done nothing? You know exactly who I'm talking about, don't you? Because he sits right here in the back on that side in that pew. He's there every Sunday, right there. Don't even move the place he sits in, right? And so-and-so, who sits on this side, has also been there for 12 years and never moved. And neither one of them is going to move. I don't care what God says to them, they're not going to move. They won't do anything. They've committed to that a long time ago. They got to put their son through college. They got to buy somebody a car. They got to pay off the mortgage. They got to do this. They got to do that. They can't move. I'd love to go in there early and take their chairs or their pews, and I refuse to move just to see what they do. Watch them. Or they just get crazy. It's like they've been on heroin and you took it away from them. They go half nuts if you don't let them sit in their little space there. And I refuse to move. I even get my kids in there if I have to and ask them to please sit next to me. So I totally block off the pew from them. They at least have to move. They have to do something in all those years in that church. Let's go on to what God says. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, do you suppose here that God is speaking about the unsaved? Could you really read this and say, well, that means the unsaved? Could you talk about those who God said were mine? They were with me. I have shown them all these miracles. I have been with them for 40 years. They have seen what I did. They have tasted it. All of this. And you say, well, that's not the saved. Give me a break. We're talking about the so-called saved here, those who know God. And if we go on, it says, see to it, my brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, in order to turn away from God, wouldn't you have had to have been there? That just makes common sense to me. If I turn away from this building and go that way, I must have been here. If I pull up here to the corner and, you know, I turn that way, then I must have been here at one time, or I had the opportunity to go the other way. That, I mean, just makes common sense. See to it that none of you turns from following the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, we're talking New Testament, if we hold firmly, if, anytime you see the word if in your Bible, take a pen, circle it, and take a red arrow and point to it, and write little words around it, like wow and oh boy and whatever. If is one of the most powerful words in the scriptures. It truly is. If we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that? Remember Amazing Grace? Remember how amazing it was when you first got saved, a sinner like me? God, you saved a sinner like me. I won't go into my testimony tonight, but I can tell you this, that I sat and cried for days and days and days because I could not believe that God could save me. He could save anybody in the world. The worst of the worst at least had something. But why? Why would God save me? I had nothing. In fact, if you had ever read about it, if it was bad, if it was evil, if it was wrong, I had probably done it. And if I hadn't done it yet, I was probably going to. I had broken every commandment, including murder. I was involved in extortion and in just a multitude of things, everything. And those were my good points. And yet God, in His mercy, loved me while I was yet a sinner. God loved me, and He saved me, and He called me. And He set me free from all of that sin. He set me free because prior to that time, the Bible says I was driven by that sin. I was driven by that sinful nature to commit sin. Well, God gave me a new nature. He caused me to be born again. He gave me a new nature that I wouldn't be driven by it anymore. But now that I would be free to serve God. And if you are saved today, Christ has done the same to you. But do you still hold to that confidence you had in the beginning? Remember the love? Remember how you cried? Remember how you wept before God? Remember how you told others about the Lord? Remember how you witnessed that first couple of weeks? You witnessed to the point you drove everybody crazy. Think about it. Remember back? Your parents couldn't even stand to listen to you anymore. What's the matter with you? You think we're not saved? Well, I'll tell you the truth. No, Mom. No, Dad. I've kind of seen the way you live here, and I've had a little chance here to go through God's Word, and you don't seem to match up to it at all. Now, either God lied or you're really not saved. And I love both of you dearly. And I don't want to not see you in heaven. That wouldn't be heaven to me if you weren't there. And you witnessed to them. I don't know whether they accepted. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But at least you witnessed. You witnessed to everybody. You were in love with God. You loved Jesus with everything within you. You repented of your sins. You told everybody. You got in front of a church. You got in front of a whole congregation and told them about the sins you had been involved in. And you told them about the great miracle that Jesus had performed and how Jesus had set you free. You weren't afraid to talk about it. Do you still do it? Do you still witness like that? Do you still have that love? When you pull into the gas station today, it'll cost you a fortune, by the way, I was just there. But when you pull into the gas station today and the guy comes out, and as he always does, "Hi, how are you today?" Tell him, "I'm blessed today. I'm blessed. I'm totally blessed. Because Jesus Christ has set me free from all of my sins." "Oh, no, I can't say that." "Boy, that's Billy. I've known Billy now in the garage for 20 years. Oh, I can never say that to Billy. I'd be embarrassed to tell Billy that. Now let Billy go to hell. He'll like that a lot better." I can just see it now as God says to Billy, "Away from me, I never knew you," and you're standing there on the edge and Billy is over, falling into hell, and he's yelling up to you saying, "Why didn't you tell me?" And you're going to say what? "I didn't want to offend you, Billy. I figured eternity in hell was better for you. Sorry about that, Uncle Joe, but, I didn't want to get you angry." Is that what you're going to say? Is that where your love for God has gone? Has it waxed so cold you've even forgot how to witness for Jesus Christ anymore? You have forgotten how to tell people about the love of God? Many of you out there listening to my voice today or tonight, whichever time you're listening, you have forgotten. You no longer can witness for Christ. Your love has waxed cold. The word wax means degree by degree. Very, very slow. Slower and slower and slower over a period of years. Until suddenly you're back. You're back to telling the little off-color jokes. You're back to doing a lot of the things you used to do. You're back to the point of Sunday afternoons of laying there or sitting there and watching football in the tying run or whatever comes in, and boy, you'd leap, oh boy, the Minnesota Vikings or whatever they are made it. They got a touchdown. Whoopee. But if anybody dares say anything loudly about Jesus, about God, it just bothers you. Oh, I hope nobody heard that. Whew. That would just be horrible if somebody heard somebody talk about Jesus. But it's okay to scream and rant and rave about some stupid football team or hockey team. Honey, come here and watch this team. Oh, this hockey team is great. Or is it boxing? I don't know. But they're beating each other half to death here. You'll just love it. And if Jesus appeared on the television, you wouldn't even say a word. That's how far your love has fallen. The danger of not reading the Word of God. The danger of falling back into those sins which are going to cost you your eternity in heaven. 1 Timothy 1:19. But just want to read it to you. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and they have shipwrecked their faith. Now, does that sound like somebody that's never been saved? That never knew Christ? That's never had any faith? How can you shipwreck something you never had? You had to have it. You shipwrecked it. You lost it. 2 Peter 3:17, therefore, dear friends, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. The only thing I wish that the Holy Spirit would have done is change the word lawless men to be careful of the pastors that call themselves the shepherd of God, because they're the ones you have to watch out for. Brothers and sisters, I am concerned. I am concerned. I have been before God. I know how many are being lost. I know how wide the road is. I know how wide the gates of hell are. I don't want you to go through them. All I'm asking you, pray with me right now. Father, I have been foolish. I have closed my eyes and I've fallen back into sin. Forgive me. Save me in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time to the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.